And it works, and we're thankful. As we approach this Christmas season, we conclude our series of messages on The Lord is My Shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. If you have that in your Bibles, I'm sure if you have a Bible, you have it in there. But we're going to have it on overhead in just a moment and be able to say it or read it together as the case might be. And I hope you've taken the time to go through and memorize it, even though you might get stage fright and not able to do it in front of other people, that you are able to remember the Lord is your shepherd and He is our shepherd. The key ingredient in this psalm is the focus on the Lord over and over and over again. David makes it very possessive that the Lord is my shepherd. So it is a very personal psalm that we can identify with when we have received Christ as our Savior and He is our shepherd. We have looked at, we shall not want. That is, He provides all that we need. We have everything in Him. And so we'll not cry about the things that we miss in this life because we have the greatest gift of all. We have looked at all of these aspects of the Lord as our shepherd. And this morning we want to look at the shepherd becomes the lamb. Join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Not the Lord's Prayer. The 23rd Psalm together. Duh. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we take these moments to reflect on that greatest gift of all, the gift of the Lamb of God, we pray that our minds will not drift onto things of Santa Claus or things of shopping sprees and to-do lists that need to be done before Christmas. But in these moments, Lord, our eyes will be fixed on Jesus. Nowhere else. Did I pray this morning if there's anyone here that is not in love with Jesus Christ, that today they will fall in love with the Savior for all that He has done? We ask Your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The shepherd becomes the lamb. The focus of our attention during our series of messages has been on the shepherd and how the Lord is all of those things to us that David describes. It is rich indeed. The shepherd of Israel is He that does not slumber or sleep. He keeps Israel. He never fails. The good shepherd is always on duty. He is always looking over His flocks. He is counting everyone. He is naming them by name. For the Lord is our shepherd and He is my shepherd. And as we recount that the Lord is our shepherd this morning, there is a shift in theme. There is a shift in theme that takes place within the Word of God, because God wants us to understand that the Lord is shepherd, but also that shepherd changes His metaphor, changes His description from shepherd to lamb. It's not inadvertent, it's not accidental. The Lord didn't somewhere along the line decide, whoops, that wasn't a good idea, Psalm 23 didn't quite do it, so I'm going to invent something new. It was God's intent and purpose from the beginning of creation that He should create that the shepherd would become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This morning I want to focus on the Lamb of God, and to do so I have brought a friend with me who is going to help us do that. And this friend comes to us from all those places that friends come from. This happens to be a friend, a lamb.
Good morning, Lammy. Could you come out and visit with Pastor Dick? You're not going to. Come on, hon. It's time to come out. Come here. Whoa, 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 whoa. Come here. It's all right, hon. It's all right. Whoa, whoa. There we go.
All right. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And this is my lamb. In the Bible, God uses two words for lamb. The first word is a word that describes a full-grown lamb, more like a ram. The second word, and most importantly, it is the word that's used most frequently in the New Testament, principally used by John the Apostle, beginning in the Gospel of John, and carried right through the book of Revelation. He describes the lamb as little bitty lamb. In fact, the word that is used in the Greek is the diminutive of lamb. And that means God looked at his lamb and he said, "This is my precious little lamb." And he wants all of us to get the message that that lamb is to be to us precious indeed. And I want you to take a moment this morning to look in this lamb's face. This lamb is precious. For a shepherd, the sheep are most important. They are his inheritance. They are all that he has. And so he works hard to keep them safe from disease and from affliction and from enemies. And he protects them. He is the shepherd of the sheep. But God the shepherd saw that the lamb was so stupid, so innocent, and so precious that he decided that lambs could not save themselves. They needed someone to condescend to their level. They often ran away from the shepherd. They often ignored the voice of the shepherd. And so he said, "I myself will become a lamb." And so God sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven's glory, came from the right hand of the Father to condescend to be born in a manger. Yes, smelling much like this little lamb. And boy, does he smell. But he sent his Son to be born in that manger and to remind us that the Lamb of God, who is spotless, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, loved the lamb so much that he became a little bitty lamb himself. And he who knew no sin came into a sinful world that he might pick up and be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that he might smell how we smell. He might feel what we feel. He might see what we see. I want to suggest this morning, don't do that. I want to suggest this morning three things about the Lamb of God. John, when he met Jesus, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He said, "Look at the Lamb of God. Focus on the Lamb of God." And I want you to focus on him this morning. First of all, we want to look at the innocent lamb, and then the sacrificial lamb, and then the precious lamb. First of all, the innocent lamb. Look at that face this morning. Oh, and I want to come down here because you really... John, do you mind... Okay, I was going to say, do you mind petting? I knew John would mind. But Shirley doesn't mind. Would you pet him on the head? The innocent lamb. Look how sweet he is. He is just so innocent. And he's quiet. He doesn't bite. And he doesn't butt. And he doesn't get angry about anything. God saw that characteristic in a lamb and he said, "Lambs are indeed innocent. Little lambs especially are innocent. And so I want my Son to represent that." And he sent his Son into the world to be the innocent, the spotless Lamb of God. Now this lamb has been hanging around a lot of dirty sheep. And so he's not spotless anymore. I want to thank Arden Rice for finding this lamb for me. But he forgot to take a bath. But the Lamb of God needs no bath. For he is the innocent, spotless Lamb of God, without wrinkle, without blemish. And he came and lived his life here on earth without sin for you and for me. God took the illustration of the Lamb from the Old Testament, and all through the Old Testament we see the Lamb depicted as the little innocent Lamb, and God ordained that that Lamb should be the sacrifice for sin. And therefore we see the second aspect of God's illustration, the shepherd becomes a Lamb. We see the sacrificial Lamb. In Genesis, Abraham was commanded to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and he took Isaac and wrapped his hands behind his back and took him up to the mountain. And there he laid the wood on the altar, and he prepared it all. And Isaac looked to him and said, "Daddy, where's the lamb?" And Abraham gave that tremendous statement of faith. He said, "The Lord Himself will provide a lamb." And certainly enough, before Abraham lifted his hand to kill his own son, God said, "Stop. I have another lamb, one that's prepared from the foundation of the earth, caught in a thicket." And that lamb was sacrificed in Isaac's place. God prepared a lamb like this to be sacrificed in your place. Now, I'm going to say something that might be upsetting to little children, so plug their ears if you mind. And that is, most lambs are born to die. One of these days, somebody's going to take this little lamb and probably slit its throat, take it to a butcher, and do all the things that they do with lambs. The lamb has to be sacrificed. Why? Because lambs don't exist for themselves. The lamb exists to be sacrificed for others. And so God prepared himself a lamb. In Moses' day, Moses led the people out of Egypt, and just before they left Egypt, he said, "I want everyone to take an innocent, spotless lamb without blemish, and I want you to offer it to the Lord. And that lamb is to be killed, and the blood of the lamb is to be put on the lintels and the doorposts. And when the angel of death comes by, he will see the blood and he will pass over you." God prepared for himself a sacrificial lamb, that the blood of the lamb would atone for your sins and for mine, would cover the stain of our sin and prepare us for heaven. And finally, we want to look at the preciousness of the lamb. He's innocent. He is sacrificial. But he is precious. In John chapter 10, Jesus stood up and he gave the metaphor of shepherd. And he said, "I am the good shepherd. I give my sheep." And John picked up on that and began to describe the Lord Jesus not just as a shepherd, but as the shepherd and the sheep, the lamb that's to take away the sin of the world. We come to Revelation and we read over and over again how John describes that one which is to come. Do you mind if I read just a little bit? Okay. "Pastor Paul, I think I might need you to carry this guy. I think he's ready to do his duty, but if you would hold him for a while." "Be gentle. You're going to break his leg." "Oh. You're beautiful. I want to show you the beauty of the Lamb, if you can stand right back here." In Revelation, John begins to describe the Son of God who died on the cross as the precious Lamb of God. In Revelation chapter 5, he said, "Lo, and I saw in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it were, slain from the foundation of the world." And in Revelation 5:12, he says, the people around the throne began to shout with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature in heaven joined in that song and said, "Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto Him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb," the precious Lamb of God. In Revelation 12, it talks about the enemy coming against the church. It says, they overcame him with the blood of the precious Lamb. Another place it says, he made them white, or their garments white as snow, in the blood of the Lamb. And then he said, there is the marriage supper of the Lamb, in which the Lamb will be glorified as not only the Lamb, but the bridegroom for the bride. And then finally, God pulls it all together and he says, this is the purpose from creation. the Lamb of God came that he might write your names in the Lamb's book of life. You see, God's precious Son came and gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross, not for him, but for us, that our names might be inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. As he is exalted as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb," it will be only those who have their names in his book that will enter into heaven. And the question I have for you this morning is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Have you taken this Lamb into your own arms, that is, into your own heart, and received God's precious gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning we want you to look not at little lamby pie here, but at the most precious Lamb of all, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If yet in your life you have never allowed the Lamb of God to come into your heart and life and to cleanse you with his precious blood, then your name is not in his book. And you will never be able to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." In the end of all things, God will bring about the judgment, and he will sit down with those who are heirs of the kingdom of God. And he said, "There is a pure water of life proceeding out of the throne of God. It is crystal clear, and it proceeds from the throne of God and from the throne of the Lamb." Have you bowed before him? Gets heavy, doesn't he? I want to close with the words of a song. It's called "The Lamb of Glory." Hear the story from God's Word that kings and priests and prophets heard. There would be a sacrifice, the blood would flow to pay sin's price. Precious Lamb of Glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption to man, worship the Lamb of Glory. On the cross God loved the world, while all the powers of hell were hurled. No one there could understand. The one they saw was Christ the Lamb. Precious Lamb of Glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God, redemption of man. Oh, worship the Lamb of Glory. This morning our Lamb is but a human Lamb. It cannot take away sin. It cannot be sacrificed for you. That is already done. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, waits for you. And he says in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him, and I will fellowship with him, and he with me." The Lamb of God waits for you. Will you respond to him? Bow your hearts with me as we pray. If you've never personally asked the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your heart and life, this morning would be an important moment to do that. Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin, to offer a sacrifice that will last for all eternity. Your sins can be covered and blotted out in the blood of the Lamb. But you say, "Pastor, what do I need to do?" All you need to do is open your heart and say, "Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I'm the lamb that went astray. And I need to be saved. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash away my sin and be my Savior now and forevermore." And Jesus will do that right now. Would you pray that prayer right now with me? "Into my heart, Lord Jesus, I invite that you would come in. And Lord, that you would offer on the lintel and doorpost of my heart that blood of the Lamb, so that the angel of death and the judgment will pass over me. Lord, be my Lamb. Be my sacrifice. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." Will you stand as we sing together this closing number? If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I trust you've prayed that prayer. We invite you to come and just stand at the front if you're receiving him for the first time and give a public testimony that Jesus is your Lamb. Let's sing together.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's
Close the service. I want to remind you that this illustration this morning will come back to your mind someday. You will stand in heaven's gates and you will see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of glory in all of His splendor. And you will know at that moment whether you have received Him or whether you have neglected Him. And I urge you this morning, if you've neglected Him, if you have not received Him as your Savior, then do so before it is too late. That Lamb has come for you. If this morning you prayed that prayer or would like to receive Christ as your Savior, would you just quietly raise your hand so that I can see your hand and pray for you? I am not going to embarrass you. I won't call on your name. But I want you to respond to the Lord this morning. Have you received Him? Did you open your heart's door to the Lord Jesus? He waits for you. Yes. Others? Yes. Father, now we pray that You would take that message and anchor it home in our hearts, that Jesus will always be precious to us, the sacrificial Lamb, the innocent Lamb, who gave His life on the cross for our sins. Wash us and cleanse us and fill us with the joy of knowing the Lamb of glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.